Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. All right. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, I'm not very loud, so if you can't hear me in the back, raise your hand or let me know something so I can raise the volume up a little bit. Amen. So I want to make sure we're well heard. My name is Reverend Greg Calhoun. I'll be teaching this class on the spirit of honor out of Bishop Tudor Bismarck's book. Everybody have the book by Bishop Tudor Bismarck? I want you to just go ahead and begin reading the book, the first several chapters. Most of our material will be coming from the book. Most of your test questions will be coming pretty much directly from the book, and I try to stick as much with the format of the book as possible because the information in the book is something that's so valuable, and we all going to need that information. A word to the wise, my quizzes and my tests comes from the information that we're going to be studying. And when I know online students, I want to welcome the online students too, because I know we have a large online student class. Online students are required to take the quizzes as a means of us knowing that they're watching and participating in the classes. But a word to the wise to the students in the class, if you take those same classes and pass those classes, you will not have any problems passing my test, because my test will come from the quiz questions. So it's not required for students on campus, but what I advise students to do is show you. This is a quiz. Make a copy of the quiz. You know, take it. You know, whatever you miss, you correct it. And then when it's time for a test, you go back and you study these quizzes, and you will have no problem passing this class. Matter of fact, I consider myself a repeater or like a drill sergeant. I'll say certain things over and over again, certain key points that I really want to drive home so that you can really get it into your spirit. So don't be surprised if you hear me say a certain concept over and over again, because I want you to get it into your spirit. Let me make sure I'm finished all my introduction here. If you have any questions, you know, about something that was stated, by all means, email me. If you're an on-campus student, if you see me on Sunday or Wednesday or after class, you know, just pull my coattail. We'll try to clarify anything that you may not understand. Online students, you have access to email. Feel free to email me. I'll try to get everything back to you in a timely manner. Let me see, make sure I cover everything I wanted to share. This is your second year. You've survived and made it through 1 year. By all means, you want to stay connected this year. Don't let nothing derail you. Don't let nothing kick you off the bus or throw you off the truck. You know, stay connected, because the enemy will try to do anything he can to try to slow your spiritual progress, especially when you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. God has you here for a particular purpose, and you want to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for your life. So don't you know, stay focused, stay connected, stay plugged in to what God is doing here at Word of Life Christian Center. Amen. All right, we're going to get into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Praise God. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. We thank you for the vision that the visionary is carrying, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are helping him, Lord God, undergird that vision, Lord God. I thank you right now for each and every student that, Lord God, everything they need this semester from each and every class that they receive, Lord God, that they, Lord God, could begin now to use what they have learned to further the gospel, Lord God, and to operate into your kingdom principles, Lord God. We thank you and we give you all the praise, Lord God. I thank you that you speak through my mouth and you think through my mind, Lord God. I just yield myself to you as a yielded vessel unto you and unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, the lesson, as I stated, is the spirit of honor. I'm going to do a lot of reading and scriptures that I'm going to be calling out. You may not necessarily have time to go and turn to the scriptures, but one thing I advise you to do is to write them down. And even better than that, and not just this class, but every class, go back and look at the classes on the archives. You have a priceless privilege that when I was a charter student some 22 years ago in the first class that they had back when we called it Ever-Increasing Word School of Ministry, if you didn't make that class, if you didn't get somebody notes, you would just slap out of luck. But now you can go back and you can watch it on the internet. You have Roku. You can download them, the MP3s, or even make CDs of the lessons if you want. So basically, there's really no excuse for not getting the material. Through technology, we have used every means possible to get the word to you. Amen? All right. I just want to welcome you to the class, The Spirit of Honor. In each of these class sessions, we're going to be focusing on what honor is and what honor is not. We're going to be focusing on training and developing you how to properly sow seeds of honor, how to properly sow seeds of honor. Honor is not just lip service. Honor is when you honor somebody, you hold them in high esteem. How can I put this? Honor is something that not only you can learn it, but it's an experience. You gotta catch it. It's a wave that you gotta catch. What I mean by that is you just like I know one of the classes was ride the waves of revival. You have to ride the wave of honor and catch it and get it into your spirit. That's so very important. One of the things I want to point out, and this is a key point, and a lot of times things that you're going to be seeing again, I'll tell you that's a key point, are very important, something that you're going to need to know. There is no greater seed. Listen to this. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you sow. And that's so very important. Honor is much more than just lip service or going through the motions of honor. You must put your money where your mouth is, and your heart and your motives must also be right also. You know, God, he doesn't just look at the outward appearance, but God weighs the heart. When you walk in honor, your whole spirit, soul, and body are committed, and there's such a thing as loyalty. One of the things I want to also point out, too, after a couple of class sessions, we're going to be kind of taking a turn where we're going to be talking about the spirit of pride, which is actually called the spirit of Leviathan. And we're going to spend a couple of class sessions on that. And then in the second semester, we're going to be talking about how honor and loyalty hooks up together. You know, you have to be loyal. Loyalty means you're giving your all and you're solid and you're concrete in your convictions. Amen. All right. Information plus revelation equals impartation. One of the purposes of the School of Ministry and these classes is so that you can get information, you know, that will produce revelation so that you can get the impartation that you receive from the apostles class. Every one of these classes, our aim is to help you better receive from the apostle. What I mean by that is when the apostles class is going to be on, and I know you guys have already done it because you've done it at first year students, but you got to understand the motive and the means and have revelation of what you're doing. When he comes into the auditorium, everybody stands up. That's an act of showing honor. You honor. When the president of the United States comes into a building, everybody stands up. That's showing honor, giving honor to whom honor is due. And we take that one step further by we sow seeds of honor on the step or under the podium. That's putting, you know, your money and your actions together. Not only am I standing up and respecting that anointing that's on his life, but I'm sowing into it, you know. And I said, when you sow a seed of honor, as I stated earlier, that's the greatest seed that you can sow. And you get a greater level of harvest, greater than any other seed you sow, because you're sowing upward. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you sow up, the anointing of God comes down and it flows. And it what it does, anything that you're liking, because you're sowing upward and sowing into that anointing comes down and it causes what you need to flourish and to manifest. Amen. All right. You must receive the information, but also get the revelation. There will be without the revelation, there will be no impartation. Without impartation, there will be no anointing and no mantles released upon your life. What you want? You want the mantle that's on the man of God. You want that anointing that's on his life. And you sow into that. We're going to be looking at a lot of examples in the Bible. A lot of stories from Absalom to Saul to David, all through the Old Testament and some New Testament references. And we're going to be talking a lot about people who missed the mark, who started out good, but all of a sudden, because of pride, because of arrogance, or because of just getting weary and well-doing, they fell short of what God's best for them were. And my desire is that you reach your full potential in God, that you reach and do exploits. The Bible says that they who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And you see, one of the things for years, when I first came into full gospel circles, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a lot of teaching going on. There was a lot of charismatic teaching ministries. There was a lot of teaching going on. And everybody, it's almost like everybody was on the same level. But one thing I've learned when I got into the apostolic, we're all not on the same level. In the area of honor, there's levels, there's ranks, there's protocol, there's a code of conduct, you know, all of these things. And we have to... You have to know when you're in the presence of somebody who has an anointing, and as you sow into that anointing, as you yield to that anointing, as you honor that anointing, well, that anointing that's on them now can be transferred to you so that you can receive all that God has for you. And that's so very important. I use an illustration. During the days of Elijah, Elijah wasn't the only you had Elisha and Elijah, the younger servant. Well, Elijah was not the only person following Elijah. There was many sons of the prophet, but they followed from a distance. They weren't close to Elijah. They kind of observed, you know, but they didn't participate. They wasn't there to wash his hand. They wasn't there to wait upon him hand and foot, you know. But they wanted what he had, but they wasn't willing to put out. They wasn't hungry enough. And one of the things I want to make sure that each and every one of you, that you have a hunger and a desire to excel. Honor will enable you to triumph and to prevail and to win in the apostolic government of God. And that's so very important. We've been studying and we've been learning about the apostolic and government, and that the government is upon his shoulders. Well, see, God always, when he sets up his government or when he sets up his kingdom, you know, even when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he picked a man called Moses. God always will have a man or a leader, somebody he has anointed to lead his people to the place that God wants them to be. You know, Apostle Thompson, God has placed the financial anointing upon his life, you know, so that he can lead us into new territory. An apostle is one who's a barrier breaker. They go and they establish territory and they plow the road and they make the path straight and plain. And all we got to do is follow. All we got to do is submit, follow, and honor and serve properly, you know, with pureness of heart. And then God now is able to impart and to give us everything that we need so that we can be productive and fruitful in the kingdom of God. Because one of the things you have to recognize, even if you don't have a fivefold gift, a fivefold ministry calling, God, the Bible says we're all able ministers of the gospel. Your life is a witness and a testimony to God. And it's so very important that in sharing that testimony and sharing that witness, that you receive the honor that as you sow honor, God now will reap a reward of honor. And so now your testimony will be seasoned with salt, will be seasoned with the anointing of God. And when you speak, people are going to hear you, because it's not just words that you're speaking, but you're speaking as thus said the Lord. And the power and the anointing of God is going to be back in what you say. And that's so very important. But that all comes as we learn how to submit and yield to whom God has placed in spiritual authority over our lives. People without any honor usually get dishonorably discharged, in essence, from the military. We may have one or two people who are in the military. My dad was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps. He was a drill sergeant for several years, became a staff sergeant. And so everything I learned from him was from a military perspective. There's protocol, there's rank, there's level. You know, in the military, you don't buck authority. You submit to authority. Well, you see, God's kingdom is really not that much different. God sets people in spiritual authority. And it's so very important that we honor that authority, because God is the one who places an anointing upon a man and places a mantle upon a man. And we're to yield and to submit to that anointing and to that mantle. And as we do that, the anointing always flows down. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll see scriptures in a minute that pinpoint these points that I'm bringing out. Just like a fish can't survive without water, we cannot survive without the apostolic government of God, which displays honor. You know, if you take a fish out of water, that fish will die. If you take honor out of the apostolic and you try to function in the apostolic government of God without honor, you will not survive, because every inch of the apostolic, there's honor there. There's respect. There's loyalty. There's commitment. You know, one of the books that you studied, I think it's called The Alliance of Honorable Men, where it talks about men of honor and those who have an alliance. You see, we're in an alliance. It's almost like being in the military, where you have a position and you fill that position and you serve in that function, and it's each person functions and operate in their God-given roles. We got some people here who lead praise and worship. Some people here who work in the ministry of helps, you know, do other areas, maybe life bearers or master life bearers or other functions, working in the nursery, the parking lot attendant. But in everything you do for God, it's going to take an anointing. It's going to take an unction to function, you know, and it's so very important that we allow the sap that comes from the head to flow down into our lives. And that's where that honor comes in. As you honor that the apostolic source, and that's a word we're going to get into more in depth. As you honor the apostolic source, everything that the apostolic source has for you is going to come to you. Because without sowing honor towards your apostolic source, you will not, if you don't sow into that apostolic source, you will walk. If you don't sow into it, you're walking, but you're walking in your own strength. The Bible talks about watering with your foot. You're working something, you're working a process that's hard when God wants it to be a flow, but now you're working it in your own ability. You know, we need to be able to exchange our insufficiencies for God's unlimited sufficiency. And the only way to do that is to flow in the apostolic and to flow in honor. Because without sowing honor towards your apostolic source, you will walk more about apostolic, and we're going to talk more about that later. What's on him will not come upon you, because you did not sow into that anointing to receive what God has for you. This is what Ever Increasing Word Center is all about. Receiving information that adds to revelation will equal impartation in your life. All of these classes are designed to help you receive the needed impartation from the apostles' class. So if you qualify, you can be a candidate for the anointing and the mantle that's on the apostles' life. But you must be willing to endure an awesome price to receive the mantle, but it is worth it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55 and 1, it says, "Lo, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What it's saying here is that, you know, if you're thirsty, you come to the waters and you buy. You know, you come to where the anointing is and you sow into that anointing. You know, you can't buy it, but by giving of your time, your talent and your treasure, you're sowing your life into something, because God wants you hooked up. And that's where flowing in one accord as one body, as one individual, as one body of believers, you know, is so very important that you have a hunger and a thirst. God is looking for those people who are hungry and thirsty for him. And it's those people that get filled. When you have a hunger, a sincere hunger and a sincere thirst for God, God is going to fill you. I want you to examine your hearts as we embark this investigative study of the spirit of honor. Search your hearts and see where there might have been errors in your life, where you might have sown seeds of dishonor. And as you learn how to sow honor, you can reverse the negative effects that dishonor brings. As I stated earlier, we're going to be looking at some examples in the upcoming classes, but when you sow dishonor, you reap the penalties of dishonor. Let me give you an example. Honor releases the blessing. Honor releases the blessing. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. When you walk in honor, it releases the blessing of God upon your life. When you walk in dishonor, it releases the curse. Poverty, sickness, death. Nothing going well in your life. And it's not just honoring from a spiritual perspective by honoring your man of God, honoring your pastor. It actually starts as a child. The Bible says, honor your mother and father, you know, so they may be well with thee, so that you might live long upon the earth. You know, we must learn how to honor in every aspect, in every level of life. You know, honor your boss, honor your employee, honor your wife, honor your husband, you know, honor your children. Children must honor their parents. You know, it's a principle of God, because you're sowing into somebody's life. Honor the elderly. You know, there are scriptures we're going to read where people mocked the elderly, those gray-headed or hoary-headed men, you know, who had age and wisdom. And they were devoured because they disrespected their years, their understanding, their wisdom, and say, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, see, that's disrespect, but that's dishonor. And there's a penalty for dishonor. You know, there's penalties for walking in dishonor. And that's so very important. Proverbs 26:2 talks about that. It says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, the curse doesn't come for no reason. Whenever somebody is walking in the curse, it's because of something they did that causes the curse to come upon their lives. When you walk in dishonor, matter of fact, why I'm saying this now, one of the things you never want to do, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God, a pastor, a prophet, an apostle. Never put you walk in tremendous dishonor when you put your mouth on a man or a woman of God, because God placed them in that position. And even though they might fall in the error or fall into sin, you leave them alone. Kenneth Hagin had a saying, if I can't say nothing good about a person, I'm not going to say nothing. I remember hearing him say that many, many times. And I remember one time back in the old church, when the apostle was ministering in the city of Darrell, there was a prominent minister who fell from grace. And I remember him telling us as a congregation, don't put your mouth on him. Whatever you do, do not put your mouth on him. And I always remember that. And it was not just the individual, but you see, you're coming against the work of God. God will deal with a man individually if they get off track. But it's not for us to criticize, to complain, to murmur. Those people who murmured against Moses, you know what happened to them. The Bible says the ground opened up and they got swallowed up. You know, that's a curse. You're putting your mouth on God's assignment, on God's man, even Miriam. We're going to talk about Miriam, Moses' oldest sister. You know, Miriam thought she had a right to speak into Moses' life. You know, Moses one day decides he's going to marry this black Ethiopian woman. And Miriam said, you know, who is this? What's up with this, Moses? And God called Miriam and Aaron on the carpet and said, you know, if there's a prophet in Israel, you know, let it be so. He said, but Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth, face to face. Who are you to question my man of God and what he's doing? You know, and so, you know, in other words, God says, if he's wrong, I'll deal with him. But don't you criticize, don't you complain, don't you murmur, because what's happening now, you're getting in the way of what God is trying to do. And you never want to be a burden or a hindrance, because the Bible says that the anointing of God will remove burdens, and if you're a hindrance, it'll get you out the way. You know, and that's why some people die early, because they put their mouth on the wrong man of God. You know, people, sickness and disease, and it's not that God is causing it, but you're causing it yourself by you know, words have power, and you don't want to put your mouth on a man of God. And I'm gonna leave that as is, but we'll talk about it again in more detail. There is always a reason when the curse comes on a person's life. It doesn't come by accident. So now we want to begin to sow seeds of honor that we can allow the blessings of God to come upon our lives and abide. You want the blessing of God to come upon your life and abide, to where you everywhere you go, the favor of God, the blessing of God is always on you. Why? Because you've been sowing seeds of honor, and you're going to reap honor. You know, if you want honor, you got to first sow honor. You know, the first law, one of the first laws of Genesis is the law of sowing and reaping. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. But you have to sow. Matter of fact, let's look at a scripture right now. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate, reciprocate by sowing into the lives unto him that teacheth in all good things. I'm going to read that again. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Okay, this is showing honor. When you communicate, that word communicate means to reciprocate. If a man of God is sowing unto you spiritual things by him teaching and preaching and pouring out his heart and pouring out the word, well, then it's our responsibility now to sow our carnal things, our money. You know, when you go to your job or your career, whatever you do for a living, and you bring home a check, that represents who you are. That's your sweat. That's your energy. That's part of you that went to that job and put those 40 hours in or those 80 hours in, you know. And so when you sow, and you're sowing something that God has blessed you with, you know, he's given us the strength and he's blessed us with the job. And so now we're giving back to him and giving back to the ministry and to the mantle and to the man that God has called us to sit under. Well, now we're reciprocating, because he's pouring out spiritual things. And if he's pouring out spiritual things into our lives, it is our responsibility to honor by sowing our carnal things. Okay, that's so very important that we understand that principle. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he shall also reap. For he that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's Galatians 6 and verse 8. And let us not be weary in well doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up, don't cave in, and don't quit. And that's what happens to a lot of people. When they're not seeing the results, they give up, they cave in, and they quit. You know, because, Lord, I'm not seeing no results. You know, well, it's not something God is not doing. Sometimes you got to examine your heart, examine your motives, and say, Lord, am I doing? You know, sometimes I tell people, they say, I don't see nothing happening. And I say, what was the last thing God told you to do? And they said, well, he told me to work in the parking lot. I said, are you still? No, I got off of that job. Well, you need to go back and get back in the last thing God told you to do. You know, because Promotion doesn't come from the east. Promotion don't come from the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. And when you stay on your assignment, you see, you honor your man of God when you stay on your assignment. When he gives you an assignment, or somebody who's in delegated authority gives you an assignment, you got to stay on that assignment, because your promotion is going to be in your willingness and your yieldingness to stay on that assignment and to honor God and to honor your man of God by fulfilling that assignment that God has for you. And as you fulfill that assignment, then that's when promotion comes. A lot of times people, like I say, get weary. You know, I don't see nothing happening. You know, but God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. You know, he says, you know, hey, you're going to get what's coming to you. You just got to, a lot of times God is just looking at your heart to see, you know, are you really sincere about what you're doing, your service for me? It says, and not be weary in well doing, but in due season, and due season always come. If we faint not and don't give up caving and quit, as we have opportunity. Now, verse 10 is a crucial verse. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Those people God has called into the fivefold ministry. You know, the apostle, the prophet. As we have opportunity, it says, to do good to them, especially of them of the household of faith. You know, I heard one minister said there's such a thing as a do-good seed. When you're sowing into your man of God, you know, and you have opportunity to bless him, you're sowing a do-good seed, which is basically an honor seed, because you're honoring him because of the anointing and what God has placed upon his life. There's always a reason why negative consequences and occurrences, which is the curse, keeps happening in a person's life. Could it be you're not properly honoring the men and women of God that God has placed in your life, or anyone who's in a leadership authority? You know, sometimes children will wonder why bad things are happening to me. Did you disrespect your parents when you were coming up? Did you mock them? Did you not respect your teachers or your principal? Do you not respect your boss? You know, even though sometimes people might be wrong, but God, they've been placed in that position. You know, you don't want to bad. You know, if you can't pray for them, don't criticize them. Don't put your mouth on people negatively. You know, because you're actually damning up your blessings when you do so. You know, you don't want to damn your blessings up. You know, sweet water and bitter water shouldn't come out the same mouth. You know, and that's so very important. That, you know, because the Bible says, "What a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways." Let him think that he's going to get nothing from God because you're wavering. You know, so it's very important when you walk in honor, you walk in honor to its fullest. You don't half step. You do it and you continually do it. Consistency is always going to be the key to the breakthrough. Being consistent in your giving, consistent in your walk with the Lord, consistent in your service to God. Consistency. This race is not for the swift, but it's for those who endure till the end. Enduring. When I mean enduring, I'm talking about just being steady. Steady at your job. Steady at your post. A lot of times I'll see ushers or people serving God, and I say, no, stay on your post. You know, whatever that is. In the military, if you got an assignment, whether that's a radio operator, whether that's somebody, I know this one guy I work with, his job was after Desert Storm, they were digging up the landmines, and he drove this special truck that sweeped the area, and it found landmines, and, you know, it would cause that mine to explode. Well, he had a very crucial job. Now, if he fell asleep on the job or got distracted, you know, not only himself, but all the troops in and around him could have easily been wiped out, you know, but he had to stay on his assignment. And if they ask you to go out and scout out the land, you know, like Joshua and Caleb, to go and scout, you know, and scout the territory, and you know, get slumped on that job and don't do it, and you don't see what you're supposed to see, and then you come and say everything is fine, and then your battalion walks into an ambush where you see, you know, you're not on your post properly. You know, I tell people, you know, it's so very important. Your service to God is so very important. You know, God, you know, salvation is free. You know, but getting the gospel out takes individuals, takes money, takes time. You know, for the apostle to travel to different cities and to minister all across the country and all across the different states that he goes in. You know, salvation is free, but it takes money. It takes people working, committed to do and for the common good of getting the gospel out. Okay, I already stated this. I got it in my notes. When you put your mouth on a man of God by speaking negatively or wrongly towards him, you have just sown a tremendous seed of dishonor. And we said never put your mouth on a man of God. I'm just going over. Like I said, I'm a repeater, so you're going to hear me say things one time, two times, many, many times. Honor needs to be displayed in your life in every level and in every circle of life. You know, from the White House to your personal house. In other words, from honoring the president to honoring your mothers and fathers and on children, honoring parents, you know, honoring employees, as I stated earlier, from showing honor to your parents, to your children, showing honor to their parents, to showing honor to civic and the governmental authorities, teachers, bosses, mayors, judges, governors, and our commanding chief. And most definitely to men and women of God in the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. Showing honor to the elderly, especially you must show honor to those who are in spiritual authority over you. You know, your pastors, if you're under an apostolic covering, the apostle over that house. I stated this earlier also. There are different levels and ranks and positions of delegated authority with different anointings. We're not all equal. You need to learn how to tell the difference and know who's an authority so you can properly sow honor to those who possess authority. Whenever I go to a church and I represent the apostle, whether it's at a funeral or a particular gathering, I always ask, you know, who is the presiding minister? And then I submit to him because he's an authority. I never forget, I went to this one funeral years ago, and this was one of the first assignments I had to actually go and to represent my man of God for a church member whose mother had died, I think it was. And so I walk in and I introduce myself as, you know, Reverend Calhoun from Word of Life Christian Center. And I just said, I'm just, you know, I want to just submit myself to the pastor who's there and, you know, let him know that I'm there to represent the family. And he says, I'm the pastor. He says, we're about to walk in the processional. He says, I want you to follow me. And so all of a sudden I'm behind him. And, you know, they have the processional where the pastor is and he's reading and the family members are behind him. And then he motions for me to sit on the platform. I'm, you know, I wasn't ready for that. You know, so he sits on the platform. I sit on the platform. And after the song and everything and the procession was over, he looks over at me, he says, I want you to do the opening prayer. And you know, but that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have first showed honor to him. You know, I said, I'm here. I'm submitting to you and I'm representing the family. And I presented myself and I let him know what I was there for. And now the first voice they hear, words of comfort. You know, the Lord had me to just pray a prayer of comfort and peace and let them know that, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, but that's all areas of showing honor. I've watched men at this church show honor, and I try to model myself after them. As they served the apostle, I watched him very closely. As a matter of fact, one particular gentleman, I even tell him, you know, I watch you because I watch the way you submit and you stay in the background. You're never in the limelight. You know, one thing I've learned to do, you know, you have to know how to be in the way and then get out of the way. You know, when you're called upon to do something, you do what you're told to do and you step back in your position. You know, and that's so very important. Some people, when they get in the limelight, they get all excited and they forget their purpose and they think that the day to shine in store. That ain't the case. You know, in this church, you do what you're told. You follow orders. You follow orders or you will be sit down. Right? ASAP. Sit down. So you follow orders. Like I know, you know, when it's time, I got about 60 more minutes. When my time is up, I'm shutting it down. If I'm ministering on a Wednesday or a Sunday, when that clock hits zero, if I had one more word to say, it's going to be said the next time. That's it. Because it's you know, all of that is honor. You know, one of the most One thing the apostle shared with me years ago, he said, son, he said, I want you to do this assignment for me and just go ahead and take your liberty. I trust you. You have no idea what that means when your man of God tells you, I trust you. I know you're not going to overstep your boundaries. You're going to do what you've been instructed to do. You're going to do as you're told. And after you fulfill that assignment, you're going to fall back in your other assignment and just, be what God has said. One of the things I've learned, you are more anointed doing what God called you to do than any other time. And it's so very important that we fulfill God's role in our lives. And let me move on because I got several other things I want to cover. Key point here, sowing seeds of honor. Now this is, remember I said we've been talking about sowing seeds of honor, but this is the scripture that bases the whole concept of sowing. And this is a law of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8 and 22, it says, sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based upon spiritual law of sowing and reaping, which is found in Genesis 8 and 22. And it reads, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So as long as this earth is in operation, that spiritual law is constantly in motion. Sowing seed, the kingdom of God works on the basis of a seed, sowing seed. Jesus was a seed. The Bible talks about how the seed of a woman shall bruise his heel, and through Mary, the Immaculate Conception, Jesus was born, and how Jesus came and he died on the cross and he planted himself when he died, but he resurrected in the newness of life, being a seed. A seed, anytime you put a seed in the ground, before it brings forth a harvest, it dies. It dies and it germinates and it brings forth fruit. So that's that's the first law of Genesis. As the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based upon spiritual law of sowing and reaping, which is found in Genesis 8 and 22. Another thing, I don't know if I shared this, but you never want to go before a man of God empty handed. You never want to come before a man of God empty-handed. Always have a gift. Always have an offering. Because by doing so, you're sowing into the anointing. And the anointing that's on his life now is coming upon your life. Because you're sowing up. That's known as upward giving. Sowing up so that the blessings and the anointing that's on him can come down. And I'm going to share a scripture about that in a few minutes if I have time to get that done. All right, man, about 12 minutes. Like I said, you never want to go before a man of God empty handed or without sowing some kind of seed of honor towards him. When you go before dignitaries, if you're a president or a prime minister, an ambassador, when you before an emperor or a king or a queen, you always present a gift. You represent the country and you present a gift to them. Well, that's just showing, your respect. When the Queen of Sheba went before David, she brought gifts. She was bearing gifts because she saw that David had something she didn't have. And by sowing into him, that anointing that caused the possession that he had that came upon him, as she sowed into him, that anointing and that blessing comes upon her. And that's so very important. I'm going to share a scripture pertaining to that in a few minutes. But let's go about going before a man of God empty handed. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, it talks about Saul. And Saul going to, thank you, and going to seek out Samuel, who was the prophet. Saul had lost some donkeys or some asses, and he was trying to find them. And it says in verse 6, it says, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. That's 1 Samuel 9, verse 6 through 8. He is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. Now let us go peradventure so he can show us our way that we should go. Verse 7 says, then said Saul to his servants, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? Okay, now David, I mean, Saul was kind of unprepared, but thank God he had a servant who had some sense, and he had some money with him and some shekels of silver. It says in verse 8, and the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver that we can give the man of God to tell us our way. They went before Samuel with an offering of honor. They went before Samuel with an offering of honor, you know, so now, see, that's known as upward giving. You're sowing into the greater so that what's on the greater can come down to you. In the book of Hebrews 7:7, it says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. You know, sowing into somebody of greater anointing, greater authority. You know, God has blessed by sowing up. And you see what Saul didn't know, and Samuel was looking for him. And actually he laid hands on Saul, and Saul became king over Israel. Now, Saul eventually fell. We're going to talk about that in classes to come, you know, but the initial contact here, you find Saul sowing into Samuel so that Samuel could bless him and show him where he can find, you know, the donkeys that he lost. And we're going to get into that and really just dissect some of these scriptures. I'm running out of time, but I just want to make sure that I cover everything. The last concept I want to cover is the anointing of God always flows down from the head to all parts of the body of Christ. When you position and align yourself properly and honor the apostolic source, which is your man of God, which is your apostle, in your life, that anointing flows down into your life and elevates you to another level. And that's so very important. And the scripture reference for that is Psalms 133:1. It says, this is an example. It says, and behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment or the anointing upon Aaron's head that ran down unto the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt and his garment. All is symbolic of the anointing. And verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended from Mount Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings forevermore. Just like the anointing or the all that ran down Aaron's beard to his whole garment, to his skirt. When you position yourself by honoring the apostolic source, the man of God that God's called you to, that anointing will run down on you because you're positioned and you're aligning yourself properly. Positioning and aligning is so very important. You want to be in God's perfect will. You want to be smack dab in the will of God for your life. When you're in the right church, under the right ministry, functioning in the right role, like I said, you're more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life because you're hooked up properly. You're hooked up properly. You know, you're connected to a vine. You're connected to a source. You know, when you take a limb off of a tree and you break it from the source, from the very vine that it's getting its nutrients from. A lot of times, people who disconnect improperly and dishonor, they think, well, I got everything I need. But, you know, the minute they disconnect, they're withering because they disconnected from the very life source that God was pumping into them. You know, you may go for a year, 2 years. All of a sudden, you know, the sap gonna run out because the vine didn't die. You know, There's really very few original anointings where a person, God just anoints them all by themselves. Most anointings that people have is because of their submission to whom God's called them to, and they function and they align themselves properly to their man and woman of God. And that anointing, just like it was on Aaron's head, that anointing all that ran down his beard. When you position yourself, you know, whether or not you might be the shoulder, you might be the stomach or the leg or the toe, whatever your function is, when you get in your place, when I say position, do what God called you to do at the ministry God called you to do it. Well, then You're gonna get the sap that you need. You're gonna get the oil that you need. You're gonna get everything you need from God. And that's so very important, you know, because God is the head, you know, and the Bible says that the government is on his shoulders. And we fit somewhere. We might be a finger, we might be a toe, we might be, you know, the hip, the thigh bone, it don't matter. But every joint will supply. Every joint supplies when you're functioning and operating in your proper place. But now when you disconnect and go somewhere else or go do something else, now all of a sudden, you know, you're going to run dry because you're not in God's place. Amen. And my time is over with. See you next week. Amen. Follow orders.